The band is in good shape. The bells are all polished and shine. They're stepping high, ready to march out onto the field. It depends on the players now. For the Cleveland Browns, your Cleveland Browns. Draft day, less than a week away. We thought we'd have with us this morning Scott Petrak of the Chronicle-Telegram, Browns beat reporter. Been chasing down stories all offseason, following different paths. And he joins us this morning to talk. Good morning, Scott.
Hey, how are you guys?
So how did you think this offseason went? Was it a fun offseason for you? From a newspaper reporter, you know, standpoint, a lot of different storylines, different things to follow?
Yeah, it was, you know, it's always busy. The NFL never seems to have an offseason anymore. But this one was worse than most. You know, it started with the Josh Gordon suspension, and then, you know, a lot of it was spent tracking Johnny Manziel's trip to rehab, which is just something you don't expect to have crop up during the off season. Then you throw in general manager Ray Farmer's text gate and the eventual suspension, and it was a newsworthy off season with not a whole lot of football.
I was thinking, you know, sometimes guys get into sports writing, they cover sports, they like sports, it's sort of between the lines. And then you realize there's a whole other world in that other part of the that you still have to deal with and report on, and it does affect what goes on the field. Well, recently, the general manager Ray Farmer had a chance to talk with the media. What did you come away with from this?
Yeah, you know what? You can never read too much into a pre-draft news conference, because obviously the general managers are trying not to give their hand away, and there's a lot of smoke screens and. You know, you try to read between the lines. But we spent a lot of the time talking about quarterbacks, specifically Oregon's Marcus Mariota, and whether or not the Browns will try to move up in the draft, probably trade numbers 12 and 19, to go get their franchise quarterback. And, you know, yesterday Ray kind of gave conflicting messages. He was complimentary of Mariota. He talked about the need for NFL teams to adapt if you take a spread quarterback like Mariota is, and that's the biggest question mark about him. Can he make the transition from a no-huddle spread shotgun attack to the more traditional, complicated NFL system? But on the other hand, then Ray said, you know, we're not looking for one magic player or the silver bullet. And he's talking about a franchise quarterback. So, you know, my initial thought is that he's not going to put a bunch of picks together in a trade to go get Mariota. But I think if Mariota starts to fall at all, you know, down to even 5 or 6 or 7, then you could see the Browns jump up to go get him.
Scott, you've covered the Browns for a long time. You've got a feel for the team. You know the players, you know, the front office folks and all of that. What do you have an opinion on what you think they ought to do?
Yeah, you know what? If it weren't too much, I would go, my number one priority would be Marcus Mariota. If you could get him for, let's say, number 12, number 19, and a third-round pick next year, I would give that up to go get a guy that I think can be the quarterback of the future. And I know the Browns have had a lot of those incarnations of the quarterback of the future, but they haven't found him yet. And I think that's the only way you win consistently in this league, is if you find that guy. And I had that debate a little bit with Ray at the press conference yesterday. So if you could get Mariota for that, then I would do it. If you couldn't, I would not give up another number one next season. I would not put together a package like Washington gave up for RG3 a few years back, and then I would sit at 12 and 19, and I would take the best pass rusher at number 12, and then I would take the best defensive lineman at number 19, which could be Vic Beasley of Clemson as your outside linebacker, and then hopefully Danny Shelton from Washington, the giant nose tackle. Hopefully he falls to 19.
Do you have any concerns about Shelton in that his size is kind of like, it seems to me like he's a Phil Taylor kind of guy, and Phil has spent most of his practice time on a bicycle because he's got ankle and leg issues.
No, I hear what you're saying, but the fact is that there's, you know, each team has two of those guys that are that giant. So, that you just have to live with that. I do think that Shelton might be kind of a one-dimensional player, a run stopper. You know, I don't know how much he's going to affect the quarterback as a pass rusher, which is something the Browns need. They were 32nd against the run last year. You know, it's probably their biggest need on defense. But that's part of the reason I think he might slide to 19. People had him as a possible top 10 pick, and I think you might be able to get him at 19 because he's kind of one-dimensional.
The Browns have a lot of picks. And it goes over Thursday's the first day, and then they take a break. What else do you see happening maybe in some later rounds or other things with those picks that they have?
Yeah, sure. Well, I do think they're going to take a quarterback somewhere. Now, I don't know if that means Garrett Grayson, who's arguably the third best quarterback in the draft behind Winston and Mariota. I don't know if that is a second or the third round. I'm not sure he's worthy of a second round pick, but are they willing to wait till the top of the third round? Or do they wait until the fifth, sixth, seventh and take a flyer on a guy that's more of a project? I think Grayson's a little bit of a project, but you could forecast him as a guy that could play as a rookie, where then a guy like Northwestern's Trevor Siemian, the Browns have worked him out reportedly. He's a guy that you would take in the sixth or seventh round or even undrafted and bring in and hope you discover kind of a diamond in the rough. So I think they'll take a quarterback. I would be shocked if Ray doesn't take a receiver. It's the second straight really good, really deep receiver class, and Ray ignored it last year. It took a lot of criticism. I think he'll address it this year. I don't think it'll be in the first round like a lot of people think, but I think he'll add to the receiver stock. And then, you know what, they might take a kicker. That was a little unsettled at the end of last season. They got Garrett Hartley's coming back, but it wouldn't shock me if they use one of those 10 picks on a kicker, which, you know, I'm not sure the last time the Browns drafted a kicker.
Scott, you mentioned that Ray Farmer took a lot of heat after last season not drafting one of the top collegiate receivers. Do you think that criticism was justified?
Well, I do. I do, number one, because the class was so deep. It almost like he went out of his way not to take one of the receivers when there were 10, 12, 15 guys worthy of being drafted pretty highly. I mean, if you look at the first round last year, you had Sammy Watkins and Odell Beckham and Cooks and New Orleans, and I'm missing guys. There's four or five guys that had an immediate impact in that first round, which is rare. And, you know, Ray knew that Josh Gordon was likely going to be suspended for a good chunk of the season and that became a need. Now, Ray would argue back that for the first 10 games of the season, the Browns got good production from an undervalued receiver class, but to me, he should have taken a receiver last year. He should add to the depth this year. I think he did a good job in free agency by bringing in Bo and Hartline, but that does not reduce the need to add somebody somewhere.
How do you like all of Ray Farmer's analogies, metaphors, uses of that? Does that give you creative juices to figure out story angles and sort of just make it more for a different way of interacting with the official?
Yeah, you know, some of it I think is kind of forced. The fairy tale about the quarterback yesterday, obviously I ran with that. I used that as my lead. He talked about slow brewed coffee. So I think a couple of them are good, and then some of them seem forced. And, you know, Ray's still young at this job. He's only his second year. And I think he's still adjusting to talking to the media. There's a lot of, at the end of the days, and I would tell yous, and he, you know, not that it's a big deal, but I think he'll clean that up as he goes along.
It's to figure out how he can kind of give you information without telling you too much
say a lot and not say anything.
Right.
Right. And, you know, it's a personality thing. There's some GMs that like talking to the media. They like their face in front of the camera. They don't mind if they give you a hint or two. You know, they kind of play that game with you. Phil Savage was like that. And I just don't think Ray enjoys that part of his job. So it's just a learning curve.
Well, he'll have some time to think about it in the beginning of the season.
Four weeks to do nothing.
Right. Someone else will have to step into that chair and answer some of the questions, but we'll see. Yeah. But again, the draft starts Thursday. What is it, 7, 8 o'clock, something like that?
I think it's 8 o'clock, yeah. So the Browns could be picking at about 9:30-ish if they don't move up.
Yeah. We'll get our attention away from if there happens to be a Cavs game on that night, what's going on with the Browns. But it's kind of exciting here in Cleveland with the Cavs and then the Browns draft. Always Browns getting the play for what's happening, and we'll be keeping an eye on that, and we'll keep it updated with you, Scott. We appreciate your time and what you do with the Chronicle. Thanks.
Okay, thanks. Talk to you soon.
Scott Petrak at the Chronicle-Telegram, providing insight into what's happening with the Cleveland Browns.